Hey, everyone. Fraser Brooks here with the Network Marketing Ninja Podcast, episode 108. Can't believe we're this far into the podcast, but today I am joined with a very, very special friend of mine, very, very, very successful network marketing professional too, and someone who I look up to in many different ways, and the mission that he's on is just needed. It's so, so needed. It's so, so relevant, and I think every single one of you will take something away from this. It'll either be something that you can tweak into what you're already doing, or it'll be something huge that you can change and it will impact your life in the generations to come as well. So I am super excited to bring on to the podcast Andrew Logan. How are you doing, buddy?
Hey, mate. Great to be on. And mate, congratulations, 108 episodes. It's just amazing. Amazing the content you've delivered and honored to be on here.
No, I appreciate you, mate. And I like to have a bit of a different style of edification, as a lot of you, of the listeners know, but you have been the only person to speak at every Australian event that I've done generically, which I'm actually proud that that's the case. You always excel, you always get better and better and better, and it's impossible, you know, from an event organizing point of view. It's very difficult not to invite a speaker back when they crush it and the feedback is so, so good. So instead of me kind of like sharing all your accolades and, you know, shared the stage with Tony Robbins and spoken to thousands of people and built an organization of tens of thousands of people, and you've helped so many people financially and from the freedom aspect and in life in general, maybe go back to the beginning and share with the guys a little bit more about your story and how you've got to where you got to now.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Well, just very quickly, actually, speaking of your event, we took the kids away just last weekend, and we were staying at the Sheraton there on the Gold Coast and walking over the bridge and looking at the Palazzo Versace there, where your very first event was. And for everyone listening, like, the Fraser was, it was a one-man band, literally. Like, he's checking people in at the front door, and I think you had Svetlana taking photos. It was a two-man band. And Fraser did a whole event himself. He did his own AV, he did all his own slides, and he literally trained for two straight days. And even you brought people up and you interviewed them yourself. You didn't even outsource that. You were just hustling so hard. And so, you know, someone was sick and I was able to step in for half an hour and support you there, mate. So absolute honor. So yeah, my story, I think, you know, I did come from that very traditional background initially, where it was, I was academically strong at school and you know, at a private academic school. And you're just told kind of, you're smart, be a doctor. And I think, I don't know if I ever wanted to be a doctor or if I was just told from kind of grade two onwards that, hey, you're smart, so go be a doctor because they make lots of money. And so I was doing my undergrad medical training, which is essentially physiotherapy. You've got to do some kind of undergraduate before you go into medicine in Australia. And I was doing physio because I was sporty and active. And I thought, you know, I'll be the Australian rugby team physio and I'll travel the world and then I'll become a doctor and be amazing. And then I think it was around third year university, and I read a book called Rich Dad Poor Dad. And those light bulbs started going off of like, oh man, like, are you on the wrong path? Like, this is it. And I'd started traveling a bit and I was like, unless I get a job with the Australian team, you know, the cricket team or the Wallabies or something, how do I travel for the rest of my life? And so I started kind of going down these alternate paths, and I started, you know, looking into, you know, alternate streams of income and side hustles. I think before side hustling was cool. And I was looking, and I actually found network marketing all those years ago, but I had a really bad experience, and nothing about the company. It's a very good company, very reputable, successful company. Just, I was the wrong person at the right time because I was looking for immediate results. And like, I haven't made money by Thursday, so I'm out. And I just remember, you know, I was catching the bus to these meetings because I was so poor and my financial mindset was so poor too. I'm like, well, I've got to be free by Saturday because I got to get out of this thing. But I realized at about mid 25, you know, there was a process to this. So I set the goal of financially free at 33, and I tried everything, and I went to all the courses and I read all the books and I did everything currencies and stocks and, you know, like blogging and Google AdWords when that was sort of really popular and all those things. And I can see how much you're laughing, right? I tried all those things back then. And sure enough, nothing was working. And then literally 4 or 5 days before I turned 30, this friend had been telling me about this thing and, you know, you should do it because you're entrepreneurial. And I was going, I had some, you know, investments and some little things going on, but nothing was really blowing up. And so I decided to give it a go. And sure enough, you know, we had great results. And then not long after, my wife fell pregnant, which was exciting. And so we suddenly had this desire to change, because I think, you know, we were living a good life, but the enemy of a great life is a good life. And so we were kind of in this, oh, well, things are all right. Just be happy with what you've got. And, you know, don't put your head too far above the crowd. Just kind of stay in that happy middle. But when Angie fell pregnant, it was like, okay, something's got to change. And that was when we really bomb dived into that network marketing pool. And so we were able to retire her after about sort of 6 to 12 months. And then another 12 months later, I was able to leave the sort of traditional workplace. So I left at 32. So I reached my goal of financially free at 33. And yeah, we've been able to do this full time now for about 7 years, actually, which is really, really cool.
It's amazing. So like, what was it like when you kind of, you'd gone to university, you'd got this degree, you were working as a physio, you're helping a lot of people in different ways, right? By the way, guys, Andrew is my go-to guy. Whenever I'm like, I stub my toe or I literally feel something in the smallest muscle in any part of my body, I like, Andrew, what's the situation? Like, what do I need to do? He's like, go to a physio. And so I appreciate that. But what were the people in your life who were around you? What were their thoughts when you started this thing and you made the transition from full-time physio to full-time network marketer? Was there any like, hate might be a strong way for it, but was there any like jealousy, hate, kind of like you're doing the wrong thing, you've worked hard to do that? But what was that like?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of negativity. And I think, I mean, focus on the positive first. One of the best things, you know, the skill that I brought in was as a physio and anyone in the medical industry, I guess you get very good at, someone comes in and they start talking to you and you get very good at asking the right questions to quickly diagnose their problem and then provide a treatment plan and a solution. And so, you know, when we talk about network marketing and, you know, it's like, that's what we do. You know, we solve people's problems and we represent a company, but we don't represent a product or a service. We provide solutions to people. So I think the positive was that I did have a great skill that I developed over years of professionalism of just someone can walk in and, as you say, and you can give me 2 or 3 bits of information, I can get a pretty good idea of where we need to go down. So that was the positive. The negative was there was quite a few things going on in that regard. And because I'd come from, you know, medical university school, a lot of my friends were in the medical industry and I was with a health and wellness product. And so sometimes they can, or, you know, snake oil and where's your double blind randomized controlled trial to prove that thing that works. And it's like, well, you know, if I take my shirt off, I look better. So, you know, like I kind of keep using it. So I did face a lot of negativity from my immediate circle. And I know a lot of people came to me and they're like, oh, I'd love to have a physio on my team like you, or how do I speak to my doctor? And I'm like, look, honestly, you're going to get a lot of negativity in there. You will find a few people who are open-minded, but most of us are just trained from day one that if it's not in the textbook, you don't do it. And so I had to, like, purely from just when we were starting to share our story, I had a lot of negativity from my very close friends of, you know, why are you doing something crazy like that? Just calories in versus calories out and all those, you know, medical jargons. But then especially when we started going down the business model, because obviously health professionals are generally fairly well paid. And so that was a pro and a con. That was a kind of golden handcuff where, well, you're making 6 figures and, you know, you kind of, why are you trying to do these other little things? Just, you know, work and be 7 out of 10 happy for the rest of your life. But I didn't want that. And so for us, I guess we never did network marketing for the money. We did it for the autonomy. And that was a big thing where obviously the money helps with the choice and the autonomy, but it was really that like we have to really grow and develop. And so we did have to challenge some friendships, and there were some, you know, nasty emails that came in, and there were some nights where I was like kind of in a dark room wrapped up in the fetal position because my best man has sent me like a quite a negative email, and you know, I don't know if we can be friends anymore kind of stuff. And it was but it came back to always that what's your why, and why are you doing this? And you know, when you're sitting there curled up in the ball because your friend wasn't that supportive, and then your pregnant wife walks in and you're like, you know what, it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. And you know, you've got to hold that vision and you've got to stay strong because there will be challenges. But thankfully, the pregnancy, Angie's pregnancy really held us together and pushed us through, and we were able to get through that. So yeah, challenging, but hey, nothing worth having doesn't come without some challenges, right?
And that, and you know what, it's spot on. I love the answer to the question as well, because a lot of people listening to this will either be going through this or will get to the stage where they will need to go through this. And it's exciting as well, right? Because it's change, you're leveling up, every level brings a new devil and all that fun stuff. So, all right. So one of the things that I appreciate and admire and adore about you and your mission so much is that you know that network marketing is a great way to bring in more cash flow, but also more time into your life. But you also know that it can be a dangerous industry because we are so dream-based. Like, what's your why? And obviously in Australia, that the level of lifestyle is just incredible. Every time I go to Australia, I do come back and think, could we move there? Like, could we? And then I hear the snake vibrating, buzzing machines that are surrounding Andrew's house. And I think, oh, I don't know if I quite fancy a snake in my bedroom just yet. But you, like, the level lifestyle is so cool, but like, we get in this industry with so much like, what car are you going to have? What house are you going to buy? What pair of designer trainers are you going to buy next? What handbag are you going to get? And it can be very materialistic. And you've just found a way, especially in the culture and community that you've built, is it's very much, no, we're going to be the wealthiest people in the generations to come. Not just because of things we have, but you know, we're going to turn our dollars into employees. So you've written a book called The Way Out, which is epic. I'll flash the cover for those of you who can actually see it on video. Here it is. Let me get the lighting on there. The Way Out. Oh, he's got, oh, he's, that was great. That was true duplication, mate. Like, I love it. And you can see on the front cover, it's so cool. There's a guy holding like a briefcase. He's kind of like corporate looking. And on one side is the big city, and the other side is like the path to freedom as well. So let's talk about like, first and foremost, what made you write a book? Because writing a book, it's not so easy and straightforward. The idea, you got the idea, but to actually sit down and write words on a piece of paper, like, it's not so, it takes a bit of time. So, and it's for the benefit of other people mainly before that it is yourself. So what made you write the book?
Well, you made me write it. You planted the seed in my head and I was like, oh, so it's a pretty good idea. But in all seriousness, I think when we talk about the time commitment, and you know, before we go into the rest of it, I think actually physically writing the book, and a lot of people have said that, how long did it take you to write? Physically writing it didn't take long because I was just reproducing stuff I had been coaching and training, you know, our team and for the company, and then, you know, generic events like yourself. So it was already there in my head. I just had to kind of clean it up and systemize it, editing my spelling errors and typos and those things. That took months, but actually just physically brain dumping, it was all there. But as you say, I think, you know, you, similar to yourself, and when we met all those years ago, you were in that sort of transition phase where you'd had network marketing success and you'd sort of kicked your goals. And then you started sort of just seeing this bigger purpose and bigger vision. And you know, for you, it was like, how do we improve the way people use social media so that our industry is respected? And, you know, the Spamler Anderson posts and stuff like that go around. And that was something that really irked you. And for me, you know, as we rose and like, you know, we started hanging around other top income earners and stuff like that, just sort of picked up that there were people earning a lot of money, but really not knowing what to do with it. And we see, you know, the lotto winner or the sports athlete that comes into a heap of money and they don't really know what to do with it. And then unfortunately, 2-3 years later, they've lost it all. And I was starting to see that in the industry as well, that people were coming in and earning a great income, but then they weren't actually being taught sort of how to control that. And it's always with best intentions as well. Like it wasn't, I didn't see it as a nefarious thing. I just saw it as, you know, we sell that dream, as you say, and your greatest strength is always your biggest potential weakness. And so for us, like so many people come in and this is their first dip in the toe or into the pool of like doing something different. You know, we've all had that mindset of just go to school, get a job, all that kind of stuff, the same mindset I had. And then they start dipping the toe in the water and they start hearing words like leverage and residual income and, you know, bigger dreams and vision boards and stuff like that. And we get really excited by that. And then someone can get that first check and they're like, oh, it's residual income, you know, and you do it once and then you get paid forever. And they can, unfortunately, think that that money is going to come in forever. So the one advantage that I had, I guess, was I had that 10 years of failures in all these other industries and trying all these other financial things. And along the way, you know, I was learning my own financial mindset and having that strength. So I always said to Angie, I don't want to be the fastest. I don't need to be the most recognized or the fastest or even the number one, but we will be the most free. And our team as well. And I really instilled that into the team. And then I just saw that little gap out there where we're really good as an industry at teaching people how to get started, how to leverage, how to duplicate, how to systemize. But then if we don't know what to do as far as actually taking that income and turning it into assets and investments and wealth, then we can run into problems and people celebrate too soon or they quit too soon or they buy things too soon. And I'm not, you know, if you want to buy the car, that's great. I'm not personally materialistic and cars don't do a lot for me, but you know, we still want to buy nice things or have nice holidays at some point, but let's do it the smart way. Because then if we lead, people will see our industry for what it is. And our industry is the best way to start the journey to financial freedom. It is the best way to grow a business from your phone, to leverage your social media, to use your energy and your excitement and your personality and get in line with the team and leadership and personal development skills. So many great things. Nothing compares to our business model. Mm-hmm. But let's show people the next step as well. Let's actually show how to turn that excitement and leverage into freedom. So that's what inspired me to write the book, and some, you know, some fantastic encouragement and mentorship from you as well, that I'm forever grateful for. And so, yeah, started writing the book and just putting all that into place as sort of two-stage thing of how to build your business, but then actually how to create wealth and freedom.
And we're kind of going to go into some like step-by-step stuff here, but where can people get the book? Where's the best place for them to actually get the book so they can make notes of it before we kind of...
If you can follow me on social media, like at Andrew James Logan or at www.andrewlogan.net, and you'll be able to get links through there and you just click on it. And it's, you know, there's a book and you can just pay the postage and I'll send you out a copy. Or yeah, just follow us through social media and there's a link on my bio as well.
Love it, love it, love it. All right, perfect. Thanks so much. And you know what, touching what you said, I think that residual income gets probably overused in network marketing because residual income takes a very, 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 very long time to truly get to the level. But if you use some of the principles that Andrew lays out in The Way Out, and what we're going to cover quickly here in this podcast is that you can quite easily, you can put methods and processes and systems in place where you can turn those dollars into employees so they go to work for you and they come back and bring more, because that level of residual income then diversifies the dollars instead of it having it all in the one basket of network marketing. You'll be obsessed with your network marketing success and helping other people. That's great. You can create some incredible kind of, cash flow from it, but it's knowing what to do with it after, because spending is not a strategy. Investing is, but a lot of people don't have a flipping clue what they're doing. So let's talk about the fundamentals that are in The Way Out so the guys can get an idea of what they're going to be getting when they do get the book. What would you say is the first step? So let's say someone has got involved, they found their vehicle, they're in their network marketing company, they're making a little bit of profit, maybe they're making $100, $200, maybe $500, $1,000, $2,000. What would be your encouragement to them? And guys, this is not financial, like this is like income disclosure and all this. We're not financial advisors and stuff like that, right? Just experience based knowledge. What would be your first step that you would recommend?
Well, I think there's essentially four stages of financial freedom and four stages of building a business and four different types of income, basically. So the book is, I like to think of it as a roadmap, essentially, because as you say, we're very vision and dream-based business, but the difference between hope and hype is a roadmap. So when we sell the dream, but we don't actually show people what to do, then we can, you know, be a bit hypey and people are a bit negative about our industry. But if we actually show the dream and the roadmap, so like initially, the initial steps, and it's all about sharing our story, right? This is a business of sharing our experience, sharing our story, what our products or service and the company has been able to do. So when we bring someone in, you know, I talk to you, I share my story. You're like, yep, I'm interested. I help you solve that problem. When we bring people in, we get bonuses for that. That's fantastic, but that is active income. So the first step is, you know, bringing people in, sponsoring, and that's all about, you know, templates and systems to follow stuff. Again, we're really good as an industry now. We're very good at systemizing and helping people with templates and how to post on their Facebook without being spammy and all those sorts of things. So the first sort of three steps in my book are basically how to create your story, how to talk to your warm network, and how to talk to your cold network, because there are some minor differences. And definitely with our warm network, some of those are, you know, our best friends of 20 years and the best man at our wedding and all that kind of stuff. So you don't want to just spew all over them, because you might jeopardize that friendship, as I discovered. So, you know, like ignorance on fire and excitement, well, you can say the wrong thing to people sometimes. So the first sort of three chapters in the book are just about that active income. Like, how do we bring people in, social media branding, and guys, go to Fraser's book for social media branding. I touch on it, but I think you know, read I Dare You instead on that one, because it's a lot more in depth. But and then step four is essentially the next thing, which is leverage. And that's one of the really cool things that network marketing and multi-level marketing offer, a level of leverage that all the other side hustles don't offer. That's really one of the cool key things. And again, leverage is about building the team, and you can have the Zoom call with 1,000 people on it, or you can have the Facebook group with 20,000 people in it, and there's a company promotion and you post that in the group, or you put it out on the Telegram or WhatsApp or Zoom call, however you disseminate that information, and thousands of people will see the information. That is amazing leverage, like just ridiculous amounts of leverage. And that's really cool. And again, that's about systems, duplication, particularly bringing people in and following the process and duplicating. And again, we're really, really good at that. But leverage isn't residual. And this is where we kind of get a little bit stuck. And this is where the paradox is that I see. And I think this is where the big hurdle and the barrier comes in, where a lot of people get stuck, because you can really accelerate your income very quickly with leverage. And you said it before, like there's no better way to accelerate your cash flow than leverage. So yeah, how do we train the team and the systems we need to put in place? Then we move into part B, because we want to step over that bridge from leverage to residual. Mm-hmm. And we love to say in the industry, treat this like a business, it will pay you like a business. But if you've never run a business, what does that mean? Yeah. Like, it's a really fancy thing to say. And so thankfully I had run a physio business for 6 or 7 years before I found network marketing. So I actually understood what it meant to run a business. And the biggest difference between leverage and residual is, again, I was saying, like, I can do a Zoom call and, you know, if 100 people get on, if 10,000 people get on, awesome, amazing leverage for me. But I still had to do the Zoom call. Mm-hmm. I would rather have 10 leaders do their own Zoom calls to 100 people each, mm-hmm, than me do 1,000 people on one Zoom call. Mm-hmm. And that's where so many people, I think, get stuck, because it's really like intoxicating to just skyrocket your income through leverage, and you're hustling and it's great fun. But as soon as you sip a cocktail on the beach, mm-hmm, no one's doing the call. Mm-hmm. Right. And everyone's just, oh, well, like Andrew's sipping cocktails, so I'm going to sip cocktails this week. And so the paradox is that systems create followers, mm-hmm, and 96% of people are very happy following. They're pretty happy to show me what to do and I'll follow it and I'll get that nice side hustle income. But those leaders, those four percenters that you're looking for, you need to allow them to step into a different room. Mm-hmm. And you need to actually mentor them, and they're going to like pull your systems apart and create their own one. And, you know, ego, like that can get in the way. Like, hey, no, that's my system and that's worked. But you've actually got to step out and let other people come through. So that's, I think, a really big challenge for people to get out of that and just step back a little bit and slow down to go fast a bit and actually find those great people, the people that aren't following your systems, the people that aren't coloring in between the lines. You know, it's kind of this like, oh, you know, like build this however you want, but as long as you follow my system. Well, the ones that won't follow your systems, the ones that annoy you, are the exact ones you're looking for.
Yeah.
Because there's no residual if you haven't trained people to take over when you move away. Mm-hmm. So that's the first step in building a business, is actually not just having systems that people can follow, but having people who can create systems and mm-hmm. teaching them independence and teaching them initiative, because they're independent distributors, not mm-hmm. followers in your team. So that's kind of step five, is kind of understanding a business and just the business mindset as well. Like in business, you get paid last, you know, in your job, like as an employee, you get your paycheck and it's like, cool. And if the business you work for had a profitable or a non-profitable week, doesn't matter. You still get your paycheck. But as the business owner, you pay everyone else first. So you pay the employees, you pay the rent, you pay the overheads, you pay the stock, you pay all those fees. Now, we don't have so many of those things in network marketing, which is amazing, but we still have to make sure our first priority is feeding our own resource. Like we've got to invest back into the business. And, you know, my mentor and a mutual friend of ours always talks about where we're like, oh, I've got this winning racehorse and it's winning races, so I'm going to starve it. I'm just going to, like, the money I would normally like buy food and a great trainer with, no, I don't want that anymore because I'm going to buy a car. And we stop putting money into our business, and then our racehorse is starving. And we're like, man, this racehorse has stopped winning. This network marketing doesn't work. I had this great income and I lost it. But no, we didn't treat our business like a business financially. So there's two aspects to it. We've got to allow people to grow and outgrow us, and we've got to step away and let them step into their leadership. And we've got to reinvest always. We've got to put money back into our business and have that mindset. So that's stepping the bridge from leverage to residual. And if you can do that, then you're in the very small percent, because then you can actually have a holiday. And some people will stop, but your top people will take it and run. And then, so the final two steps are then just about understanding the difference between wealth and money. You know, like money is a number of figures in a bank account. Wealth is a measurement of time.
Yeah.
How long can you survive? You know, if your company ran into some trouble or there was something, touch wood, but if something happened, how long would you survive? That's wealth.
And based on that, Andrew, I think I might have just kind of cut you to the point there. But what would that equation be for the people who are listening? Like, how would they be able to equate that, kind of like how wealthy they are? Is it like them, like how much they spend in a year on their like day-to-day expenses, like divided by, like what does that equation look like? So maybe they can start to think, wow, I've got some work to do.
Yeah. So if you were like rich with $1 million in the bank, but your standard of living was $10,000 a week to pay the cars and, you know, the holiday and the home loan and all that, you've got 100 weeks of wealth. That's pretty good, right? But there is a point where if there's not a residual income or a passive income coming in, so if you've built the business properly, the goal is that your average spending, you know, living the life that you're currently living, is less than or equal to your consistent residual and passive income. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that final step is creating some extra income streams. And the final step in the book is just starting to understand investment and what kind of investor you are, because we do just want those other income streams coming in. Because if you think about the lake, you want lots of rivers and streams feeding the lake, because there's money coming out all the time. We don't want a drought or a little, you know, rock slide upstream to cut your lake, because we want other streams and creeks feeding it. So that's the sort of process of going from active hustle into leverage team, into residual business with that business financial and leadership mindset, into investments and starting along the investment path. It was really wordy, sorry, but
no, mate. No, I absolutely love it. I think it's so important as well that people start to get out of their own business. One of the big questions that I get from the leader level people who I'm surrounded with is, I'm getting really frustrated because my team aren't attending the Zoom calls. I'm getting really frustrated because my team are doing their own thing. I'm getting really frustrated because my team are working with my upline. And the question I usually ask them back is, why is it a bad thing that they're doing their own thing? Why is it a bad thing that they're working with your upline? Doesn't that mean that you don't have to do the work? Like, yeah, but like, I want to have hundreds of people on the Zoom call, and you just nailed the whole point. Like, why would you want hundreds of people on your Zoom call? Because that means, as you say, you've just got a high paying job. You know, you haven't got freedom and leverage there. So the word that keeps coming out every time I speak to you and see you train and see you do these things is the word leverage. I think it's so important. So if you're someone who, and again, we can't give investment advice, guys, like, just please understand that. But if you're someone who knows that, yeah, I need to get my money working for itself, but I'm only really making like $500 a month, and that $500 really is kind of paying my bills, and you know, I've got credit cards and student loans, and like, but I know I need to invest, and like, everyone keeps saying the stock market's crashing imminently, and like, but then everyone's talking about Bitcoin, and like, do I buy that, like, into the hype? What would you do if it was you? What would be your first step if you were at that lower income level, which is a powerful income level to be at? You know, it's the first steps in the process. But what would you do if it was you?
Well, as you're saying, a really important point that $500 a month or $500 a week is so much more powerful than I think we realize, because to the average person in the street, it's so much more realistic and attainable than the top income earner. I think that's such a important point, because when you say, I'm working with this guy making $2 million a year, people are like, can't fathom it, the average person. But yeah, I think a few things. Focus is such a big key. And again, we see people take themselves out of the game because they do get distracted, and there's a bit of money coming in, but should I jump on a crypto? Should I jump into this? Should I do that? Should I put it elsewhere? And there's diversity and there's multiple streams of income and stuff like that. And, you know, you see that meme all the time. Millionaires have seven streams of income. They built one.
Yeah.
And they built one until it was self-sustaining and residual and taking care of itself. And then they used the time and the money to build the second one and repeat. So they didn't like try and juggle seven businesses all at once. So the first thing is focus, because again, there is no better way to really seriously accelerate your cash flow with small investment and, you know, but just hustle and energy and excitement, the network marketing and multi-level marketing. So focus where you are first. But yes, what you want to do is create the habits. And we want to create the habits from day one, because if you can't put 10% away into your investment budget at $500 a week, you won't do it at $5,000 a week. Because that's when you're going to be looking at the Maserati.
Yeah.
So, you know, like you got to do it right from the start. And successful people have successful habits. You know, we know that. And again, that's like, you create the habit when it's early. So the third thing is, yeah, do not quit your job and do not like change your lifestyle drastically, because that's where people like, again, you hear the stories of, network marketing ruined my life. What happened? Oh, well, I started making money, so I upgraded the house and car, and then my business went backwards, and now I can't afford those things. It's like, wow, that's not really network marketing's fault. Like, maybe you just overextended, or maybe you quit your job too soon, and then you got to sort of, like, you know, crawl back and beg for your job back because you kind of jumped the gun a little bit too much. So, guys, there is nothing wrong with staying in your job a little bit longer, because it's a great way to meet people. It gets you out of the house. It keeps you in routine. And look at your job as an angel investor into your business. Mm-hmm. Come back to that. Imagine if I fed my racehorse even more and got a better trainer for it, and like went to the course, and I could use my job to pay for the books that I'm going to buy or pay for that course that I've always wanted to do. Like, use your job as that angel investor, so you're not pulling money out of your business to survive. Mm-hmm. So that'd be my few things, like focus, stay here, because like this is the best way. Like, yes, there's some, you know, great things happening at the moment, but there's nothing beats this for longevity. And just start creating those habits, and just make sure you don't celebrate too soon and change your lifestyle too quickly. Create the successful habits, start putting money away for investment. And so when opportunity presents, it's too late to prepare. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was thinking about that earlier when you're talking, Fraser, because, you know, Fraser messaged me, it was like Friday lunchtime or something, was like, hey mate, can you speak tomorrow? And the reality was I had done the speech I had done so many times. I'd prepared because I love speaking about financial mindset. So the opportunity presented and I was ready. So you want, you know, $50,000 or $100,000 or something sitting in a bank account ready to use when the opportunity comes. And when you're ready to start reading the investment books, and when you're ready to start like getting into that side of things, you've built up the war chest in the meantime. Because yeah, you can't invest $500 and try and get financial freedom, right? You can start to create the habits, but you want to just put that money aside, being ready to go when the opportunity presents.
And I think it's a decision right now, listening in. Are you going to be the wealthiest person in your family based on what you earn in your network marketing career? Or are you not? Are you going to be proud of your network marketing business, or are you going to be ashamed of it? I've been around the industry my entire life, and there are two types of people who have made the six-figure incomes. The people who are super wealthy and they just live the life of freedom and live on their terms. They're playing golf every day. They're traveling, you know, 5, 6, 7 times a year, obviously outside of this craziness we're in right now. But they're living life on their terms. The other side are the people who had a few good years. They made a lot of money in like, you know, a 10-year time span, $1 million+. And you would think that they would not have to worry about money, but they do. And they are struggling day to day. And it's because they haven't had the habit. So they bought the car when they thought they could buy the car because, well, if I have that really nice Mercedes, or I have that really nice Maserati, or I have that really nice Porsche, then my team are going to be super, super inspired. And then they're going to want to push more. But then what you're actually doing is you're trapping yourself. Because now you have this amazing car. And when the business dips, because business dips, guys, it's part of it. It's a healthy part. The market corrects. The market corrects. Your health corrects. Everything kind of corrects. So what happens is you need to sell the Porsche, but you can't, because you then think, well, if I sell the Porsche and I downgrade from the Porsche to a Volvo, they're all great cars, but I put downgrade from a Porsche to a Volvo, then what am my team going to think? And then it's the last thing you end up selling, when it should probably be the first thing that you sell, but you're trapped. You're completely trapped. And the creating the habits and focusing, creating the habits, and don't change your lifestyle to track those. That's gold right there. Those three tips right there. Absolute gold. So mate, I appreciate you again, guys. If you haven't already got the book, go to Andrew Logan. That's AndrewLogan.net. Go to there, you'll find the process and the link to be able to get the book, The Way Out. It's amazing. Andrew also has a great community. Once you've got the book, you'll be able to kind of get into the community, and he gives so much value inside of that as well. Interviews and loads of different like kind of like monologue style nuggets. It's amazing. So go check that out. He also does have a podcast called The Way Out Podcast, right?
Yeah, The Way Out. 7 steps, financial freedom through network marketing.
There we go. So go find the podcast as well. Start with the book. That's going to help, because you're going to get the blueprint. You're going to get the roadmap. So it's not a hype business. It's a hope-based business. I love that. And then go check out the podcast. That'll be amazing. If you did get value from this, do me a huge favor. Give me a smash the subscribe button. Give a 5-star rating and review. But go over to find Andrew's podcast. Because we will be doing another interview on his podcast as well. So if you want to kind of carry on this conversation, head over there to go check it out, and make sure that you give him a 5-star rating and review. Subscribe to his podcast as well, because you can never get more. You can never get enough personal development. People ask me, how much personal development do you have in your life? Like, do you have 1 hour a day, 2 hours a day? Do you do it in the morning? Guys, there's Alexa's playing in the other room with a podcast on. You might think I can't hear it, but somehow it's seeping through the door and I'm absorbing it. And how do I know that? Because I've been the kid in the pram listening to my mum and dad all these years. And I say things today that I've never written down, but because I've heard it time and time and time again, I've absorbed it. So you can't have enough podcasts. I've only got 108 episodes. That runs out after about 40 odd hours. So you need other sources. So go ahead, check that out. Mate, I appreciate you. I'm excited to do the interview on your podcast now. But yeah, I really do appreciate everything that you're giving to the profession of net marketing.
Yeah. Appreciate your friendship and appreciate everything you've done in this industry. And it's so cool to see you just absolutely crush it, mate. Thank you.
Thanks, mate. See you guys.